From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Split show tonight. In 2 hours, Professor James McCanny joins us as we talk about sun flares and pole shifts throughout the night. And here's what's happening. The sun has unleashed its strongest flare in 4 years. The eruption is an X flare, the strongest type. Such flares can affect communications on Earth and other things. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory spacecraft recorded an intense flash of extreme ultraviolet radiation emanating from a sunspot. The British Geological Survey has issued a geomagnetic storm warning. The eruptions are expected to hit the Earth's magnetic field over the next couple of days, causing an increase in geomagnetic activity. And I bet it makes people act a little weird. NASA's Stardust spacecraft flew past Comet Tempel 1 on Valentine's Day night, snapping photos of the site where a different probe crashed into the icy surface nearly 6 years ago. Before Stardust encountered Tempel 1, the comet was visited once before in July of 2005 when NASA's Deep Impact spacecraft plunged a small probe into the icy surface to determine the comet's composition. The new images from the flyby identify the Deep Impact crash site, giving scientists the unique ability to identify changes on the surface of Tempel 1 in the years between the two missions. We've got pictures of this up there at coasttocoastam.com at the highlight reel. Richard C. Hoechlin, enterprisemission.com, and our science advisor. You think there's something else afoot here, Richard, don't you?
Yeah, I do, because NASA's NASA. Look, the other night when you and I were on IMing while you were doing the show and I was giving you updates on the encounter, remember I told you that suddenly they said, oh, we've got a problem in Spain with the antenna?
Right, I remember that.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the antenna. That held up the downlink of the pictures by an hour. Then, when the pictures started to come in, completely baffling everybody in NASA and all of the project by the press conference they gave, you know, hours later, the pictures started coming in the wrong angle.
How did that happen?
They had set up that they were going to tape these five pictures when they flew right by this little three-mile rock and then release those immediately so the press could have something to write about and they had something to talk about, the press conference held in the middle of the night. The pictures started coming in one by one from the very beginning of the encounter when the comet was just a little dot on the screen. That means all the press people, all the networks, all the wire services, all the cables, etc., they left. They weren't going to hang around for 6 or 7 hours to see the close-up pictures. Now, why do you think NASA did that, George?
I don't know, but you did. You hung around.
Because if you have the press go away, it means the pictures aren't put out there right away, right?
Yeah.
And if the press goes away and the pictures are not the pictures that you got down, but you've had 6 hours to do something with them, you won't have the pictures that you actually took. They'll be substituted for pictures of things that look close to what you took but will not raise any red flags.
Well, what are they hiding? It's a rock, Richard.
No, it's not a rock.
What is it?
It's another spacecraft.
Excuse me?
It's a spacecraft, an ancient alien spacecraft. Now, George, you have to ask me the $64 million goal question, how does Hoechlin know this?
I was just going to ask you that.
It has decks. It has layers. If you look at the craters on the images.
It looks like a rock to me.
Look carefully at the layers in the craters. This little thing is 3 miles across. It's smaller than Berkeley, for God's sake.
All right, I'm going to look at this and get you back.
It has no internal heat source. It has no geology, no volcanoes, no core, no heat, no radioactivity, no nothing. It's supposed to be a frozen ball of ice, right? Yet it has layers. When this thing formed billions of years ago, according to NASA's model, how did the layers form? You can't form layers in zero gravity. You get it?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to look at these pictures, Richard. I think it's a rock. You say it's an ancient spacecraft. We'll find out. Richard C. Hoechlin, enterprisemission.com. Well, here we go. Israel's foreign minister is claiming that Iran is about to send two warships through the Suez Canal for the first time in years, calling it a very dangerous problem. The Egyptian authority that runs the canal denies it. The swelling protests against Bahrain's rulers gained momentum with huge crowds calling for a sweeping political overhaul and the kingdom's stunned leaders appearing to shift tactics after attempts to crush the uprising created rage on the streets and sharp criticism from Western allies. The widening challenges to the Arab world's political order also flared now in Libya for the first time. We reported on this last night. Riot police battling protesters marching against the 42-year rule of Muammar Gaddafi. Bankruptcy for the bookstore Borders. That's right, Borders. Slow to get the message as the big retailer lost book, music, and video sales to the internet and other competition. The result? It files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and will close nearly a third of its stores nationwide. Health officials say the number of people sickened after attending a global internet conference in Southern California has now grown to about 200 people. The Los Angeles County Department of Public Health said it's focusing its investigation into a suspected respiratory infection outbreak at a party at the Playboy Mansion attended by many of the conference goers. Scientists are trying to determine whether a group of dwarfs in Ecuador, all of them living in a remote village on the slopes of the Andes Mountains, could hold the clues to the cure for cancer. The members of the group, about 100 of them, closely studied by researchers from the University of Southern California, almost never get cancer or diabetes, and they all suffer from mutated genes that lower their growth hormone activity, stunting their growth. In an article published in the journal Science, researchers suggest that blocking growth hormone in full-grown adult through prescription drugs or a special diet could unlock the mysteries of cancer. And a patient's belief that a drug will not work can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, according to researchers. They showed the benefits of painkillers could be boosted or completely wiped out by manipulating expectations. They've identified regions of the brain that are affected there. Is the legendary Bigfoot a North Carolina native? Maybe. A Salisbury, North Carolina man thinks so, and he's trying to prove it. Michael Green in search of Bigfoot in a national forest in Montgomery County. Green says that he has shot 3 minutes of video of a creature he thinks was Bigfoot in the national forest 2 years ago. We've got Mike Green on with us now. Michael, this is exciting. Tell me what's going on.
It is exciting. Actually, it was 20 years of pretty boring research before I finally got lucky. I was getting pretty discouraged there. But, yeah, almost 2 years ago in the Uwari National Forest, I got about 3 minutes using a thermal imager of one sneaking up to grab a Zagnut candy bar I had stuck out on the stump. Normally, I put out peanut butter, but I'd forgotten it that night, so I had to put out something, and I just happened to have a candy bar in my pocket. And, I'd been trying to get this on film for a year because a year earlier I had seen it through the handheld thermal imager, but I didn't have the digital video recorder on.
What can you tell us about the creature, Michael? What does it look like?
Well, it looks like a Bigfoot, except through a thermal it's all white, of course.
And okay.
7.5 feet tall, really bulky, muscular. Very, very unbelievably cautious.
And probably not someplace where a human being would be or dressed up like a costume, I think.
Well, no. I was in an area where there's only one way in and one way out. There was nobody there. And when I left the thermal running to give the creature some privacy, if you will, to approach the stump, I drove a few hundred yards to the entrance, which is the only way in and out, and parked there for a couple of hours. When you put somebody in a suit, a thermal imager, the image isn't the same.
It's distorted somewhat.
It's very distorted because the clothing hides the heat that's being radiated by your body, and you can pretty much tell if you've got somebody in a big fat suit or something like that. It would look awfully different.
Michael, the Animal Planet Channel is very interested in this case.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
And there might be a full documentary on this in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I just spent a week down there in the Uwari with Animal Planet. They are doing a series called Finding Bigfoot, and they came down here because Matt Moneymaker, who's head of the BFRO.
Right. Good guy.
You know him. Yeah. It has been a very good friend of mine for years. And, you know, I had shown him this footage, and I guess he showed it to Animal Planet. So they came down here and sort of used my footage as the rationale for coming down here for one of their episodes. And thank goodness we just finished it, because it was a very long and tiring business.
Oh, absolutely. Michael, have there been other witnesses to these potential sightings?
Yes. Actually, the reason I was there originally was because there had been a handful of other witnesses in the BFRO. Now, we had a town meeting down here in this little town of Troy in North Carolina and asked anybody who had seen anything like this to come forward. And, boy, we got a lot of people. They're reluctant at first, but once the crowd realized that, you know, they weren't going to turn on their own when they stood up and told their stories, people started coming forward. And we got maybe a dozen good stories out of it.
You don't have any doubts about the existence of Bigfoot, do you?
None whatsoever. Though I should add, you know, in all fairness to the disbelievers, that over my 20 years of this, I have talked to hundreds of people who have looked me right in the eye and told me more or less what I'm telling you, that yes, I've seen one for sure. They've looked me in the eye and told me that. But until I actually saw one for myself, I wouldn't have bet my life on it.
All right, we're going to stay in touch with you on this, Michael. Michael Green, In Search of Bigfoot. Well, NASA has been warning about it. Scientific papers have been written about it, and geologists have seen traces in rock strata with ice core samples. But now it's here. The unstoppable magnetic pole shift that has sped up and is causing some havoc with the world's weather. Up next, Stan Deo joins us. We'll talk about that. Planet X, there's some debate over whether two astronomers have truly found it, may find it. Others are saying not so. That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Split program for you tonight. 2 hours down, we've got Professor James McCanney talking about solar flares and peak energy and all kinds of hot issues. Right now, we've got Stan Deo, who has held above top secret security clearances, worked undercover for the FBI, and he was part of an exclusive black project headed by Dr. Edward Teller, specializing in the development of flying saucer technology. Stan has lectured on many world events, including the coming global economic collapse, developing solar-related crises with Earth's climate. We're going to talk with him about that now on Coast to Coast. Hey, Stan, welcome back.
Hey, George, my friend. It's good to hear your voice again.
So let's talk about this X flare, first of all. It's headed this way. It's one of the biggest in years. They say it can cause a lot of disruption with communications. What about knocking out power? What about the grid, Stan?
Well, it can do that. We had a bigger one back in 2003, I think it was. It was about an X45. This is an X2.7 or something. So we have had bigger in the last decade. But this is extremely unusual, and this could knock out power like it did in Canada a few years back. It could knock it out for 10 days to 14 days if it hits the grid just right. It'll cause shorts to occur and grounding the power lines. And, of course, and that blows your generators because everything is linked in some kind of an array, you know, where they share power, and it'll just bring the whole net down. It's impacting the heck out of China at the moment. And with their drought, food shortage.
Oh, sure.
It's a bad time to be having that happen, especially if it makes fires when it shorts them out.
Now, you add these solar flares with a shifting magnetic pole.
Right.
Are we having these Earth changes, these weather shifts, because of these events?
I think that they all contribute to it. I'm sure you've noticed, as many of us have, that the weather has really gone screwy this year, no matter where you
go. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
I mean, I was out shoveling snow here the other day in the high desert, that was work. But anyway,
that is work. I got to go through that when I'm in St. Louis. That's too much work.
Oh well, you'd have more work than I would. I would just complain because it's a new kind of work here. But
I'm older than you, Stan.
Say that again.
I'm kidding.
Listen, I got you by a few years, boy.
I know that.
I still call you youngster.
Yes, you do.
Now, the jet stream has moved. It's broken. The Gulf Stream is broken. That takes warm water around the east coast of the United States and over into Europe. We're looking at a mini ice age here, which, when I say mini, it's like Maunder minimum of the late 1600s, when the sunspot activity was very low like it is now. In fact, it was even lower. It was so bad in London at the time, for a few years, or 3 or 4 years, that they set up continuous stalls and bazaars and shopping malls on the Thames River itself, on the ice, because it was so thick. So in opposition to global warming, we've got this super cooling happening. And a lot of rain and floods. You've seen what happened in northeast Australia and Queensland.
Oh, my God. What a wipeout there.
Well, they're having it down in the southern part in Victoria, just outside of Melbourne. We have friends that still live down there and communicated with us this week. And normally, in a whole year, that area would get 26 inches of rain. They've had it in the last 2 weeks. Now, that's a lot of rain for places like that. It causes mudslides and erosion, all kinds of problems.
It is ironic, Stan, that all this seems to be focusing on 2012.
Well,
there's that point.
It is a strange irony. I know that there's been a lot of talk about the Mayan dating of that and some of the similarities between that and Christian prophecies, the Book of the Revelation, stuff like that. I relate it to the cycles of the sun primarily, and certainly in 2012 and 13, we're going to see a portion of this solar cycle that could trigger some rather interesting events. But there are a lot of things at play here, George. It's not a simple answer, to the question about what's causing all this.
That's true. It's not one issue either. It's coming from all kinds of different directions.
Well, when Lisa Lyons, your producer there, or the director, she rang me and she said the first thing in her mouth was, what is going on with the world? It's like we hear this in our email, but, Lisa was saying that, where do we turn? There's everything we can think of is going wrong. And the bad news is, I told her, I agree, and I think it's going to get worse.
Stanton, I'm convinced it's also affecting people and their mental state, because I have never seen a time where so many people are acting so weird in all my life.
Have you noticed that they're like cranky, irritable?
Edgy, very edgy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this may be...
And look at the Middle East. I mean, look at the timing for all this.
Yeah, well, that almost seems political, doesn't it, with the Hamas and the various terrorist organizations. It coordinated, and it's kind of a string of dominoes are going to fall over.
Sure.
Just the first one. I tell you what, if you ever study Bible prophecy, you can't look at this stuff and say, gee, it's an accident. It's random. It is fitting a pattern that was predicted thousands of years ago.
Yeah, it's almost like a playbook, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you can see the logic in it now. But even those of us that have studied and translated this and talked about it for years are kind of sitting here with our jaw dropped. It is happening so rapidly that we can't believe it. Now, that's man-made stuff. The sun activity is anomalous. We thought that, looking at the predictions that NOAA had and that NASA had, it would be another normal kind of maybe lower sunspot cycle than last one, 24. But it's not. It's really low. And it's dropped down suddenly, and yet there are sudden bursts like today, coronal holes appearing that are big.
After years of really silence,
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Bang, here they come.
Well, now, the Hopi, when Holly and I were down there talking to the Hopi back, 5, 6 years back, they told us in private meetings there with one of the senior advisors, with the prophecy man, he said, look, it is going to get very hot here in the near future. And, of course, the Hopi, it's kind of soon. They never tell you how many years, months, or days, but it's soon. And they say it's going to get so hot that it will catch fire to trees and grass, and we'll have to hide in underground igloos, or
Jeez.
They call them, in caves. And the Book of the Revelation says the same thing, that men will hide, try to get rocks on top of them and hide in caves from the heat coming, from the sun. And it's very specific. It's not nuclear war or anything like that. The sun will become so hot that it'll burn a third of the trees and the grass.
And now, an X-flare won't cook you, but it'll affect electronics and things like that, right?
It will, but the sun is doing some kind of weird stuff. It can throw off enough of an electromagnetic or a proton storm that it rips holes in our upper ionosphere. And when that happens...
That's a problem.
That, yeah, I mean, that can happen in a space of like a few minutes. We'll get about an 8-minute warning when it comes off the sun before the proton storm hits, because the light travels faster than the protons do.
Stay with us, Stan. We're going to come right back and talk more with you on Coast to Coast AM. Stan Deo, our special guest. His website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And the program's interactive, so next hour we'll take your phone calls with Stan Deo right here on Coast to Coast AM. Stan, let's talk a little bit about why you think people are so cranky these days, what's happening with the elements that might be affecting them. Then we'll get into Planet X. You've noticed this too.
Oh, yes. Holly, even more than I, she goes to the grocery store, you know, once a week to get stuff for us. And people are just kind of rude and short-tempered,
yeah.
You know. And it's not every store, but the majority of the ones she's been to, they have this kind of dour look on their face, you know, where they're just not happy. And I know that there are a lot of other factors that could be doing this as far as the economy and, incomes, in other words, loss of homes, that kind of stuff. But it is here, and we're getting the same kind of report you're giving from other parts in the country. Holly just put up a thing on the website which kind of summarizes a lot of this. It's a picture, the photo of the day. Go to standeo.com and
okay.
Photo of the day. If you got your computer open there,
I sure do. Like
go to the photo of the day and go, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I'll get that. We've got that easy link for you right at coasttocoastam.com.
Okay. Yeah, so. The title of the picture that George is going to be looking at, and those of you that are following us along, is When the Shift Hits the Fan. And it has a picture of a big Mayan kind of pyramid, square-topped, and water flooding around it and heat in the sky like the sun is burning the thing. And this is kind of everything rushing down on us at once. I think that's what people are psychologically feeling as opposed to physiologically feeling. And I think the physiological part of it comes from changes in the Earth's magnetic field and even the gravitational field, which we're discovering right now with tests going on all over the planet. Did I tell you guys that we were doing that last time we were on the show? We were going to set up a network of people.
You said you were going to work on that. That's right.
Okay. Well, we put out a call over our website, and we asked people around the planet if they would like to help us run the test in their areas to see the change in the magnetic field and the gravitational field are both at the same time. We got 17 countries as of now involved and 100 people, and one-third of the states of the United States, we have testers in those states, plus one classroom of students over in Pennsylvania, all doing the same test to monitor the changes in the Earth's gravitational field and its magnetic field. We think this is what is bugging people.
That's a great idea. It probably is. It's pulling your brain or something.
I hadn't thought about it that way, George, but you may be right, because in 2008, we ran the test ourselves here at the house and down at Nathan, our number three boy, at his house in Perth and some friends' house over in Queensland where all the flooding was. But this was before all this happened. And so we got their test results, and we compared them to our test results in the Northern Hemisphere. And, okay, ours were exactly opposite to theirs, which, okay, we thought that explained everything properly. We just got new data in this week as we started the new round of tests this year. And in New Zealand and Australia, the fields have flip-flopped. They've gone opposite of what they were in 2008, like the atoms turned upside down. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so when you say it might have kind of stretched their brain, well, it certainly may have flipped the atoms in all of us, and maybe it explains our sensation of time shortening or lengthening, as the case may be at night and during the day. But something is happening. I mean, why else would that airport down in Florida?
The one in Tampa, that's right.
Yeah, change the runway and put new permanent marking on it. If it was a temporary phenomenon like a proton storm, a CME from the sun, those can deviate compasses, 20, 30 degrees for a few hours. But you don't repaint your runways
for
that.
And they're all going to have to do that, Stan. A couple astronomers think they might have found Planet X in the solar system. Way out there. A huge gas giant, who knows what it is. I mean huge, way bigger than Jupiter. Some other astronomers say, nah, we don't think so. I'll tell you what I find to be incredibly baffling. One is we've had guests on who've talked about the sun has a dwarf star twin, a binary star system that may have burned out, but right. that it's out there. And then we get the work of the late Zechariah Sitchin that talks about planet the Nibiru. And then, of course, Nancy Leader and her theories on Planet X and Mark Hazelwood and people like that. If there's something out there, the fact that these other people have reported on it years before, I find it to be absolutely stunning. Don't you?
I do, George. And with Sitchin's work, for a while I thought, oh, okay, a Planet X with people living on it, the Anunnaki, comes around every 3,600 years, and they jump off and visit Earth. I don't know whether I buy that, you see. But because of this new data, this new equations I set up for the solar system, I finally discovered where planets have to orbit. There are certain places they have to orbit, or they're not stable. And when I did this, I found, surprise, surprise, to Stanley here, I found out at 250 times as far from the sun as the Earth is, I found a mean orbit out there of a planet that has an orbital time of 3,600 years, plus or minus about 12 years.
And that's exactly the orbital path he talked about.
As soon as I found out, I thought, oh, it can't be. I went over and over the equations, and it is. And I thought, well, okay, all right. So, all right, let's suppose there is a planet like Sitchin's data said, and it does come close to the sun every 3,600 years and stays in our neighborhood for maybe, 10 to 15 years.
Plays a little havoc to us and then goes on.
Right. Yeah, okay. Suppose that's the case. All right, well, where do these people live? Because if that planet goes out that far, I mean, we know that Uranus and Neptune, they're cold, right? And if you go out way out there to the Kuiper Belt where that orbit is, even beyond that, actually, you think, well, it would freeze food, it would freeze living matter.
It's got to have some kind of internal heat source.
Well, yes. And when I went back to the drawing board and looked at the equations I've set up for a new model of gravity, there are two types of gravity, one that contains the mass of planets and the actual mass of the planet. And when I did this, it shows that planets actually, as they get older, they increase in their diameter. And periodically, they open at the pole. I thought, this cannot be. But if it is, I thought, right, if there are people living inside that Nibiru planet, walking inside that with a void between them and the hot core of it, it would be like a low-grade sun. And they could grow stuff in there, and they could live out there in a nice, comfortable, heated ball living on the inside of it.
Exactly.
Now, you know me. I just kind of didn't buy into that hollow Earth stuff and the Planet X until this month. And I tell you what, the stuff I've been finding out is making the hair on the back of my neck stand straight out.
You've changed, haven't you?
Oh, I have. And this gas giant they think they've found is between 4 and 10 times, depending on whose estimate you use, the size of Jupiter.
But why would they say it's a gas giant? How do they know that?
I don't know. I guess it's from the emissions of it, and they'd say maybe the further out that it would be very sparse spacing of the matter out there.
I want them to find a real solid planet, you know?
Well, look, they may have already found it. We're putting out feelers down to our astronomer friends in the Southern Hemisphere and asking them to, break protocol. If they find something, document it and let us know so that we can get at least the public aware of what really is happening, because I'm pretty sure that the major observatories that get government funding will not say anything without permission of the government.
Well, the two astronomers who believe it's out there, and they're calling this object Tyche, T-Y-C-H-E, they claim that something has to be out there to be affecting other objects in our solar system.
Yes.
They just couldn't figure out what it is until they've come up with this theory now.
Well, Neptune and Uranus are right next to each other, and they're out beyond Saturn. And Neptune's orbit is really compressed, and Uranus has an interference with its orbit, not as big, but it does have. So they're so far away from where this mean orbit would be, they would only be affected in the short term when something is coming in close to the sun from out there. Now, I calculated the speed of this alleged Planet X, if it's out there at that orbit we're talking about.
That's right, 3,600-year elliptical orbit, right?
Yeah, and when it comes down and around where Mars and the asteroid belt is, if it gets that close, it'll make about an 11 to 12-year circuit around the sun and back out again. But when it does that, because of the high angle it's coming in at, it will interfere with the orbit of Venus, of Earth, of Mars, and the asteroid belt, and possibly even some of the moons of Jupiter. Now, people think that, you know, because physicists teach us there's the one kind of gravity. That's the gravity that, you know, you fall down to the Earth or you're attracted to Jupiter. But there is a weaker gravitational field that NASA has just become aware of because of Pioneer 10 out there and 11 starting to slow down out there at about 75 times the distance of the Earth from the Sun. They're leaving our solar system slowly, but they're slowing down. They said, well, we found this weaker extra force and can't explain it. My theory, which I'm putting in a paper, and I'm rushing to get all the data in from all of our testers so that we can put this in print, my theory allows for a spinning field that's very weak to organize all of the atoms of a planet and collect them into the sphere that we call a planet, where their own spin of their atoms make the real gravitational field that we normally sense. And because of this, there are invisible spinning waves, standing waves, around our sun, way out there. I mean, like one light year across in distance out there into the edge of the Oort cloud. And those spinning waves, if something comes in with and impacts those waves, it doesn't have to get close to a planet to mess up its orbit. It only has to shake that containment
just
wave.
Just a little vibration. That's
absolutely
it.
Absolutely. And so, boy, I tell you what, I can hardly wait to get this thing finished and out to people to see, because once they see it, I'm going to animate it. I've already started animating, showing how it works. Then you understand, and the physicists and astronomers will be able to understand some of the mysteries they're finding now and how these things can affect us at a long distance.
So now you're convinced that there is a planet X in our solar system.
And I'm also convinced that planets expand, so do stars, and so do galaxies as they get older, and that periodically, at the north and south pole of even a galaxy, they open up and energy from the inside shoots out.
Do they break apart? Do they explode?
Well, they eventually throw off shells. They open up and there's a point where, I'll tell you what, if you take a glass of water and you put a little bit of white sand and some iron particles, you know, like you use with a magnet, iron powder, throw them into that glass and stir it up and then watch that vortex that spins in the middle of the glass.
Okay.
It has like a tornado going down to the bottom of the glass.
Until it all settles down.
Until it all settles down. Where does it settle? Not at the edge of the glass. It settles in the middle, the heavy part in the center, the iron filings, with the sand on top of that.
Yeah.
And it makes a nice little cone-shaped pyramid, or a cone, I guess, inverted cone at the bottom. If you had two glasses like that in space, and you spun them up, and you put the bottoms together, they would make a planet inside where, you know, that all that iron filings and stuff, they form a core there. The lighter elements would float around as flotsam out around the edge of the water spinning, but the heavier stuff would sort out by its weight.
Could be like a walnut, you know, where the shell is around the peanut, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And so looking at this, I went over to Neil Adams' site, and I guess I better tell you this, too. On our website, in addition to the picture of the day, right where it says "Stand Guest on George Newry's Coast to Coast Show Images," click on that, and you'll see a whole page of stuff we're talking about. We've got illustrations of it, and in there, you will see the containment field I'm talking about, and the hollow Earth is picture number two, right at the top, plus pictures of the North Pole of Mars. The North Pole of Tethys 2, which is a moon of Saturn, Saturn's North Pole, and you'll see all these spiral patterns that form because of this spiral gravitational field. Now, Neil Adams, I've got down to probably 4 or 5 rows down of those pictures, I've got links to Neil Adams' animations of how Mars expanded, and he proves it. He shows you pictures of Mars and how it expanded from, you know, like, almost 30% of what it used to be, and the Earth, it does the same thing. And then I have a link to his site where he has 9 animated clips that he's done of various bodies in our solar system, proving even the moon expanded as it got older and is still expanding.
Good work.
Oh, look, talked to Neil. I'm just extremely impressed with what he's done. He's very qualified. He's in the cartoon and illustration business, but this is his avocation, and he has done such a marvelous job. So it shows you what I'm talking about. Those holes can open up, and they open and close. They're not always there. Now, I've got a shot on the pictures there of the Vostok base at Antarctica.
Wait, what is that hole there?
Well, yeah, good question. They did drill a hole down there, but that is bigger than the hole.
This is huge.
This is huge, and they dug down, I think they drilled down 2.2 miles and held. They want to go 2.4 to hit that lake Vostok down there. They found a lake that's only, I think, about 5 degrees under freezing, but it's a lake. A huge lake. And suddenly last year, or year before, when they got down that deep, they stopped and everybody backed off. Right there is where I would expect to see a hole opening up and it getting warmer. And the warm lake down underneath does tell me that.
And there it is, yeah.
And at the Arctic, the North Pole, it is getting warmer and the ice is melting.
So if this planet X is out there,
yep,
and it's that far away,
right,
it could have its own heat source from within.
Right.
And if there are inhabitants on that planet, they could be inside.
Right.
Fascinating.
I know that sounds crazy, but that's the conclusion I'm coming to.
Hey, anything's possible.
Yep. If you want to see that hole bigger, you can just click on that picture there, and it zooms up a bigger picture. I got that off Google Earth.
Okay, so good.
Anybody can do that. It's just look up Vostok, V-O-S-T-O-K, on Google Earth, and it'll take you right to that spot.
Stan, give me a few minutes to talk about what you believe to be these end-time prophecies as well. We'll take calls next hour, but do you think we're right in it right now?
We are definitely in it, in my opinion, okay? There are just so many people that are getting dream visions about this, and I'm just looking at news. I haven't got dream visions about it in a long time, but I know that we are seeing the beginning of a very tense period of Earth changes and political and ecological changes on the planet. In the next 7 to 10 years or less, we are going to see a large percentage, like maybe 60-70% of the population, die.
We had a panel this weekend in Los Angeles on 2012.
Say that again?
We had a panel on 2012 right. In L.A. this weekend, and you know, most of the panelists talked about how we're going to go through this change of enlightenment. I still think we're going to have some kind of major solar event around that time period.
I think you could be very well correct because of that heating and burning. There's something else. We're going to get hit by something. If you look at the prophecies, it's going to fall into our oceans and kill a third of the marine life.
It's just a matter of time.
Well, look, the other day when that one came so close and they said, oh, gee, well, that was close. I didn't see it coming. But they saw it going, which is interesting.
That's always scary, too. They don't see them coming, but they do see them going.
Yeah. Okay, so after it's passed, then, okay, well, don't panic. It's okay. It missed us. You know, that's fine.
One day one is not going to go. It's going to just hit us.
Well, that's part of the prophecy. And part of the prophecy also is about the famine going to hit the planet. And when you look at the droughts we're having and the flooding and the freezing in weird places, our whole food chain is messed up at the moment. This is why, you know, Holly put in the book, The Dare to Prepare, all the things you can do to mitigate, you know, to prepare yourself to get through that tiny window of 3 to 4 years there where it's going to be really bad.
Well, and even for just 2 weeks, Stan, you have to do something.
You do. And you know, we've talked to a lot of people since she started talking about all this and putting the book out there who have done this. And they're saying some of them, like in Mississippi and Louisiana, when they had the cyclone hit there, Katrina, they wrote back and phoned back and said, you know what, we don't have to wait for all this tribulation stuff. It hit us, and we were able to reorganize our neighborhoods or our friends and family based on what we had put aside in food and water and energy, a little generator and stuff. Simple things that they did for their whole community, you see. One judge wrote us, and he just was amazed. He said, you know, I put like 7 or 8 neighbors back together. They came and congregated our house. That became the center of rebuilding our neighborhood because I had generators.
Well, that's the way to do it. Stan, we're going to take phone calls with you next. We're talking with Stan Deo about Planet X, about the X flares, you name it, and also end times. Your calls are next on Coast to Coast AM.